All right, turn if you would please to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel 22. I'd like to read the last portion of these verses. 2 Samuel 22, verse 47 through verse 51. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation, for he is king, for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. This is a holiday season of Thanksgiving. Like most American holidays, much of the intent for the institution of the holiday is lost. The purpose and motivation for the celebration, therefore, has been diluted and altered. Fortunately, the name itself reminds us of a character quality we all should possess: thanksgiving. Luke 17 records a story of 10 lepers who were healed from their leprosy, but only one returned to render thanks. Jesus said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? He goes on to say, "There are not found to return to give glory to God, save this stranger," except this man. Our society, it seems, is not much different. The present generation is one which believes in entitlement and therefore is ungrateful. Oh, not everyone, of course, but a good number never consider the blessings they have received, nor do they understand they were undeserving of such blessings. And as a result, many people are ungrateful, ungracious, self-centered, and self-serving. Well, I would like to take this time to remind you today to be thankful. Be thankful. That's the title of my message, those two words. Be thankful. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again we come before you and we ask that you would bless your word. Speak to every heart. We ask if there's anyone here today who is not saved, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus. Grant unto them repentance and faith that they would be saved even today. May we who are saved be encouraged in these things which we look at into the Scriptures. And may all of us be reminded that we should be a thankful people. May your will be done. We commit it to you today and we love you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be thankful. I'd like to give you a background of this text that we have here in 2 Samuel chapter 22. As a matter of fact, the entire chapter is a song that's recorded for us, and it was a song of David. Now, this psalm that is found in 2 Samuel 22 is practically identical to Psalm 18. But I direct your attention back to verse 1 of our chapter because it indicates the reason for David writing this psalm. It is actually the title of the psalm, and you'll find that if you go to Psalm 18. But notice what it says, verse 1, chapter 22, 2 Samuel. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And if you know anything about the history of David and the problem he had with King Saul and how he was on the run from Saul for at least a decade and the troubles that he had seen for the throughout those years, and David, after he is delivered from Saul and from the hand of all of his enemies, no doubt this is after he's entered then into his kingdom, wrote this psalm. Now, the thing is, this is at the end of David's life where we find this included in 2 Samuel chapter 22. And it appears to me that it's included here because it summarizes David's life. Because as he would reflect upon his past, God's victories would come to the forefront. And as he nears death, it is appropriate to voice once again such triumph. And so I don't have any problem with David writing the psalm as is recorded in Psalm 18, nor its inclusion here. as he draws near to death. This is what's on David's heart and David's mind. And at the end of this song, and we didn't read all the verses, of course. I will direct your attention to a few of them. But we read verse 47 down through verse 51, and these verses express a thankful spirit. And that's why I've chosen these verses today as a premise for an understanding for our message about being thankful. With this in mind, knowing a little bit of this background, there are several things I want to bring to your attention. The first thing is this, and it's found in verse 47. And I want you to note that God is his defense. Verse 47, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation." God is David's defense. He is his rock. He is the God of his salvation. Look back into verse 2. We read the title in verse 1. Go back to verse 2 and verse 3. "And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." You get the idea? Do you see the picture? The Lord is his rock. As David fled from the face of Saul for many years in the wilderness, he often found refuge among the hills and the cliffs of Judah. And he would be among those rocks, as it were. And that's where he would take up his residence, and that's where he had the high point. That was his protection. And so as he writes this song, he thinks of how God is his rock. One of the most classic rocks you think of out of history is the place called Masada, where those people carved out of the mountainside that great city, and they lived there. It was almost impenetrable. And so God is his rock. God is his fortress. God is his defense. And any fortress I ever think of is one like those old castles of Europe. You know, he just practically can't get into those things. And so we find that God is his defense. You look into the verse and you find right off that the Lord lives. I'm glad for that. David believed that God was alive and on his throne. I believe that God is still alive and still on his throne. If you're still wondering whether or not there is a God, and if you believe the placards from way back in the 70s where they used to walk around saying God is dead, my friend, he isn't dead. God is alive. The Lord lives. And David says the Lord liveth, and then he mentions about how that he is his rock. He is the rock of his salvation, and the Lord is his refuge. The Lord is his fortress. He is his defense. Now, when you think about that, the reason this means so much is because he needed a defender. David had a very tough time for those 10 years. He needed a defender. He needed a rock. He needed a fortress. He needed some place to flee to. And God was his defense. That's what we find in verse 47. Let me submit unto you, practically speaking, that how does that apply to you and me? Do you need a defender today? I believe that you do. Certainly, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you understand that we face spiritual enemies in a spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says that we don't war against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Every one of us who know Jesus Christ, every one of us who are saved, well, there's a spiritual battle that goes on. And we face spiritual enemies, don't we? We need a defender. But let's bring it home. So you say, well, I'm not a Christian. That really doesn't apply to me. But isn't it still true, even in life itself, that there are those who would oppose us? Aren't there enemies of our nation? Aren't there enemies in society? Aren't there people who oppose you in the workplace? Sometimes even in the family, people would oppose you. We just have opposition sometime. We need a defender. And then if you'll just take that a step further and think about the afflictions of life. I mean, life is difficult, isn't it? There are troubles and trials on every side. You talk about afflictions and sickness, infirmities, their financial woes, emotional woes, psychological woes, physical afflictions. I mean, life is hard. And you think about that, that's an enemy to us. We need a defender. We need somebody on our side. David needed that, and the Lord was his defense. We need that defense. We have spiritual warfare at hand, and we have those who would oppose us. We have the afflictions of life. But turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 7. For those of us who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we have another battle that goes on that we need a defender, and that is in regard to the sin from within. You know, as a Christian, we're not perfect. We're sinners saved by grace, and what a joy that is. But the Apostle Paul makes a very clear description for us in Romans chapter 7. I'm going to read just a couple verses here, and I'll clue you in. I'm going to come back to this text a little later on, so you might want to keep a marker there. But in verse 18 and verse 19, Paul writes and he says, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Do you see his spiritual trouble that he has there? Do you see the battle that he has with the old man? And I'll tell you, we who are saved have to face the sin from within. We need a defender. There are battles around us constantly raging. Go back to 2 Samuel chapter 22. The first item is we see that God is his defense. In verse 48, secondly, God is his avenger. Verse 48. "It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me." God is his avenger. Look at verse 14 and verse 15. Get a glimpse of this for just a moment. David, in all of his trouble, remember why he wrote the psalm. It says in verse 14, "The Lord thundered from heaven. The Most High uttered his voice." And verse 15, "He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them." Well, there were a number of times that David faced battle and God fought in his behalf. And what it is God is his avenger. The expression within our passage, how that God had brought down the people under him. When you look at the scriptures, it's good to understand that a central theme, now this isn't the main theme, but a central theme throughout the Bible is that God will avenge his people. Maybe you never thought about that before, but I'm going to give you a few references for your submission and for you to think about. Luke chapter 18, notice here, book of Luke chapter 18. "I submit unto you that a central theme in the scripture is that God will avenge his people." God's people have long been abused and misused by the people of this world. God will avenge his people. As an example of that, Luke chapter 18, we find in verse 7 and verse 8 through the parable of this widow who went before the judge, couldn't get any satisfaction. She just kept coming to the judge until he did something for her. The lesson is applied in verse 7. "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." I'll tell you, the nation of Israel was in Egypt and in the bondage and under the thumbscrews of Pharaoh for centuries. God avenged them and God brought them out. 2 Thessalonians, turn over there please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and notice verse 6. "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them who trouble you." Do people take advantage of God's people? Do they persecute them? Have they done it for centuries? Will God recompense unto them trouble? He will. God is an avenging God. Revelation chapter 6, if you would, turn over there, please. Revelation chapter 6. Notice verse 9 and verse 10. A little bit of discussion of events that take place during the tribulation period, and it says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimonies which they held." They were persecuted, they were put to death for Jesus' sake. "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth. My friend, God will avenge His own. Those who suffered, even of our Baptist forefathers, suffered and died for the cause of Jesus Christ. They will one day be avenged. God will judge this world. As a result of God being the one who avenges, the Apostle Paul teaches us, and listen, if you will, to Romans chapter 19. This is not where I'm coming back to the same chapter, but Romans chapter 12, verse 19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord." God says, I will pay. I will give the vengeance. So don't you worry about it. Don't you take that upon yourself. And so as you go back to 2 Samuel and you look into our text, I submitted unto you as we looked at these verses that God is David's defense, but God is also David's avenger. Verse 48 said that God avenges me and brings down the people under me. But you know, when you think about God really did avenge David. If you know anything about the life of David, you understand that David being chased by Saul for those numbers of years, David would not touch Saul. He saw Saul as God's anointed. And so when David did have opportunity to slay his enemy, he would not do it. He says, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. I will not take his life. He had several occasions to do so, and he would not do it. David's perspective was, his day will come in battle or something else, but God will have to handle this situation. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. David was on the run. He didn't kill his enemy. And after it was all over, Saul was killed by the Philistines. He did die in battle, a very horrible death. Now, there was a time in David's life where he was on the run and he heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep and he was going to go up and get some help from him because he had helped his shepherds out in the fields, and he thought, well, it's time to get a little payback here. And Nabal was a very foolish man, and Nabal rejected David. And David was going to go destroy him. He was going to judge Nabal himself, but fortunately, Nabal had a wife that was very wise by the name of Abigail. And Abigail came out and stopped David and spoke to him, brought out provisions for him, and convinced him not to go destroy Nabal. And he really realized and understood that it would have been a mistake if he would have gone on and destroyed everybody, because that's what he was going to do. And Abigail persuaded him otherwise, and he left him alone, turned around, went back. And you know what? Within a week, Nabal was dead. The guy was struck with a heart attack, and a week later, he was gone. God performed the judgment upon Nabal. David didn't do it. You remember when David was being chased by Absalom, his son, he had to flee from Jerusalem. There was a son of Kish, of the lineage of Saul, that was out there that was throwing rocks at him and cursing him. It was a fellow by the name of Shimei. And one of his cousins said, let me go over and take off this dead dog's head. Why in the world should he curse my God, the king? And David says, no, just let him curse. If God had bid him curse, let him curse. His judgment will come. David came back from fleeing into the wilderness after Absalom's revolt was put down, and he came back. Shimei came to meet him, and David allowed him to live. But you know what happened? When Solomon became king, he called in Shimei and said, we know how wicked you've been, and you deserve judgment, but my father promised not to judge you. And so, and they laid out some rules and guidelines, and Shimei agreed to that. 2 years later, he transgressed those rules, and he was put to death. God got his vengeance. You see, David said, God will avenge me. Paul's text in Romans says, God will avenge you. Do not take the vengeance yourself. And so God is his defense. God is his avenger, practically speaking. Remember those things I mentioned unto you just a few moments ago? How that we need a defense. We need a defender because of these events. You know what? God is the one who gives us spiritual victories. He's the one that will avenge us. And if persecution comes to this country, we need to keep that in mind. God will avenge his own. God will take care of our enemies. He will take care of those who oppose us. God eliminates or overcomes the afflictions of life. He doesn't always remove all those things. Remember in that passage we read it, though he bear long with them, but he still will avenge them. He still hears the prayers. But God will eliminate, God will overcome the afflictions of life. Now remember, I asked you to keep a finger there in Romans chapter 7. Go back to that passage. We need a defender because of the sin from within. And Paul said, well, the things that I would do, I do not. The things that I wouldn't do, those things are that I do. Boy, it's a trouble. It's a fight. It's an affliction all the time as a Christian, fighting those things against the flesh. But I'll tell you, we need an avenger, and we have an avenger, and that avenger is God. And God grants us victory over those sins. So at the latter part of that chapter, Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, Paul wrote and said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. What it is Paul's expressing there, you know what? He has the battles. He needs a defender. But God is the one that will avenge him. The troubles and the trials and the spiritual battles that he faces as a Christian, God will avenge him. The victory is found through Jesus Christ. 2 Samuel chapter 22. We have seen in our message today that God is his defender. We've seen that God is his avenger. Look into verse 49, and I submit unto you that God is his deliverer. You say, why does all this make any sense? We'll see that in just a few moments. Bear with me. Verse 49, God is his deliverer, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Look back a few verses to verse 41 through verse 44. God is David's deliverer. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen, a people which knew not shall serve me. What is David? David was a shepherd. He was a keeper of sheep, and God took him from the sheepfold and made him king over the children of Israel. Before that, he went through troubles and trial and chased by King Saul. But now he's delivered from his enemies. God has rescued him. And it's just not a freedom from his enemies, but he's actually placed in a position over them. He is superior to them. God has defended him. God has avenged him. God delivered him. And what we find in this text, my dear friend, is that God rescues those who are taken captive. Can we express it in that way? And then he exalts them. That's what David expressed there, that he is over his enemies. He lifted them up high above them. You want to know a classic example of that? I cannot help but think of Joseph, one of the sons of Israel. Remember Joseph, the fellow that had the coat of many colors? He was despised of his brothers, and they were jealous of him, and they sold him into slavery. He went down into Egypt. He was down in Egypt, and he was working in the house of Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife decided that she wanted to have an affair with him, but Joseph, being a righteous man, would have nothing of it, so she lied on him, and he was put into prison, and he suffered in that prison house. A couple guys come down there, the baker and the wine steward, and you know what? The butler, they had these dreams, and Joseph interpreted the dreams. They forgot them. A couple years later, though, we know all those dreams come about, and Joseph released out of prison, made second in the land in Egypt. Talk about deliverance. And he suffered a great deal. God bore along with his affliction, but he heard his prayer. And God was his defense all along. But he avenged him. He brought him out and made him up above. Can you imagine? Now, I've always wondered, I would love to have seen the face of Potiphar's wife when Joseph was made second in the kingdom. What in the world was going through her brain? I cannot believe I made a false accusation against this guy and put him in prison. And now she's above. He's above her, and he's above everybody over the land. Just second in command. And of course, we know through the story, children of Israel, because of the famine, came down into Egypt for grain, and the brothers come down, and they're found to bend the knee at Joseph's feet. Talk about deliverance, not just a deliverance, but an exaltation above the enemies. And that's exactly what David is expressing in the text. I've been delivered, but I've been exalted. I am above. God is his deliverer. Practically speaking, God is our deliverer, isn't he? All the enemies that we face, the things that we have to endure in life, We cry out unto God for blessing and mercy, for God to avenge us. God is our deliverer, and God alone can elevate us above our circumstances. He may not remove them all, but He can elevate us up through them. God can grant us grace, can't He? Even in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trial. I'm made to think of over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul had a physical affliction. Cried out to the Lord three times that God would take that thing away from him. And God came back to him and spoke unto him. And says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And that's where it is, isn't it? I'm not saying unto you today that because God is our defense and God is our avenger and God is our deliverer that you won't have a problem or care in life. I'm not saying you won't have any afflictions or you won't have any enemies, but I'll tell you this, my friend, God is able to lift us up beyond them, and He is able to give us the grace that we need to endure through them. God is a great God. God is His deliverer. And so we see these items back in the text here in 2 Samuel chapter 22. Now, why does this make any difference? Verse 50 through verse 51, because God is His defense, God is His avenger, and God is His deliverer. Therefore, He renders thanks and praise. That's the last two verses. Therefore, David said, verse 50, therefore, I will give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praise unto Thy name. He is the tower of salvation for His king, and showeth mercy to His anointed, unto David and to his seed forevermore. What do you find here about David? David is grateful, isn't he? David has an attitude of praise. David recognizes his deliverer and his mercy. I mean, he needs mercy. He's going to get it from God. David recognizes that. You see, he renders thanks and praise to that God who has done so much for him. Practically speaking, I believe that we should recognize our deliverer and recognize His mercy toward us. Three areas very quickly. First of all, I think you ought to recognize who God is and His mercy in the matter of salvation. If you're here today and you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you ought to recognize God has delivered you. God has been merciful to you. God has given you eternal life. Talk about lifting you up above your enemies. He brought you from death unto life, from the bondage of the devil, unto freedom and liberty in Jesus Christ. Talk about resurrection and exaltation. That's what it is. What a joy that we, and you ought to recognize that. Are you thankful that you're saved today? Do you remember what you were before you were saved? You need to. Never forget. Now, if you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ. I point you to Jesus today. He alone is the Savior. He alone can give you eternal life. You can't do it. You're a sinner. You're under condemnation. You're dead in trespasses and sins. And you'll never be good enough. You'll never live a good enough life and treat your neighbor right or keep the law or be religious enough. You need Jesus Christ to forgive you and to save you. Well, God is the one who has given us salvation. We should recognize His deliverance and His mercy. But secondly, for those of us who are saved, we ought to recognize that He delivered us and grants us mercy in any area of service. As we attempt to serve the Lord and follow after Him, we struggle just like the Apostle Paul, as we already referred to you in Romans chapter 7. We need His deliverance and we need His mercy, and doesn't He grant it to us day by day as we attempt to serve Him? And so we give Him the honor, we give Him the glory. But then I submit unto you in the third aspect, we should recognize God as our deliverer and the mercy that He gives to us in the area of our circumstances. Life is hard. Aren't you glad for God who gives grace and mercy and strength to help you deal with the things of the Lord? God is a very gracious God. God is our defense. God is our avenger. God is our deliverer. And we should be thankful. Are you thankful today? Look at these verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Should we be a thankful people? I encourage you today, the title of the message is, Be Thankful. Be thankful. What does the Bible say? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks. In everything. Turn it back a few pages. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. says, be careful for nothing. That is, don't be anxious over anything. Be careful for nothing. Notice what it says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When you go to pray to the Lord, it's good to take your burdens. It's good to take your afflictions and troubles and trials. You ought to tell God about them, and you ought to ask Him to help, and you ought to ask Him to bless. But never forget to be thankful. In all your praying, be sure to give thanks. Be sure to give honor. Be sure to give praise to the Lord in everything. You see, in your supplication, with thanksgiving. Another page or two over, Colossians chapter 3. Turn back to the right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Do you have an idea that we ought to be a thankful people? 1 Timothy chapter 2, one other verse. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Give thanks. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We should be grateful. I gave you a number of these verses that demonstrate that we ought to be a grateful people. We try to teach our children to be grateful and to be gracious, to say thank you. And then when people respond, say you're welcome, you know. It irritates me when I do something for somebody and they can't even say thanks. Isn't that something? I remember when I was in high school. You say, well, maybe you ought to get over it by now. But I remember I was in high school and I was holding the door for this girl so that she could, you know, I was just trying to be polite, trying to be a gentleman, holding the door so she could walk into the classroom building. And she stops short of the door and says, no thanks, I can get it myself. What? Well, that was back in the 70s, so, you know, that was the women lib kind of area, and that was when everybody just wanted to be free and, you know, women could do their own. I wasn't saying she couldn't open the door. I was trying to be nice. She had books in her hand. I held the door for her, and she stopped short. No, I don't want it. Okay, fine. I shut the door and walked on. She had to open the door herself. Isn't that irritating? You ought to be a grateful person. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I asked you to turn over there. Do you realize, according to the Scripture, that when you give thanks, it glorifies God? We've looked at these verses where you ought to give thanks. When you thank God, you glorify Him. 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of God, the thanksgiving of many rather, redound to the glory of God. Corinthians, as they help one another and they assist one another, that causes people to give thanks. When they give thanks, you know what that does? That glorifies God. And so, giving thanks glorifies God. And I believe that we ought to be a thankful people. David said, therefore, I give thanks. We should be a thankful people. I believe that we ought to have an attitude of praise. Back in 2 Samuel chapter 22, listen, if you will, to verse 4. David said, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. In verse 7, he says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God and did hear my voice out of his temple and my cry did enter into his ears. You see, he praised the Lord. He gave honor and glory to the Lord. It was all for God's desire. It was to praise him. Turn, if you will, just a few psalms. Psalm 33. Psalm 33. I submit unto you today that we ought to be, practically speaking, one who recognizes, like David, who our deliverer is, for the mercy of which he has given unto us. We should therefore be a grateful people. We ought to give thanks to him. And giving thanks glorifies God. And we should be a people who desire to praise the Lord. Psalm 33, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. It's right for us to sing praise to God. Psalm 66, the 66th Psalm, verse 1 and verse 2. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Praise, dear friend. Psalm 100. Book of Psalms, the 100th Psalm. Look at verse 4 and verse 5. Psalm 100, verse 4 and verse 5. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endureth to all generations. You know what? When we come together in the house of the Lord, one of the things we need to be doing is to enter into His courts with praise, to sing honor and glory to Him. You say, well, I don't like to sing and I don't really have much of a voice. Well, you don't have to sing that loud. You don't have to drown everybody out. But you can sing, can't you? Shouldn't you make a joyful noise unto the Lord? You should. Sing unto the Lord. Have praise unto Him. You're not singing for me. You're not singing for the people around you. You're singing unto the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. God deserves such praise, doesn't He? We're going to look at a reference to that in just a second. But when we praise God and David has an attitude of praise, it still includes the matter of giving thanks. Listen, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Turn to one last place, Revelation chapter 7. Do you understand then, by looking at these verses, that we should recognize who God is, what God has done, that we don't deserve anything, but that God has been so gracious to us, and we need to give Him thanks. We need to give Him praise because of God's great mercy for all the blessings. Can you be thankful today? Can you think of anything that God has done for you? My family sometimes, it's turned into a family joke in a sense, but get together with my brothers and my sisters and we'll sit there and say, let's go around the table and see what we're thankful for. And it's kind of a funny kind of thing because we just, oh, come on, give us a break. You know, we can all be thankful and we should be thankful. Let us be thankful. Are you thankful? If I should ask you today, I'm not going to do it, don't get scared, but if I should ask you today, call you by name, ask you to stand up, and ask you what you're thankful for. Does anything come to mind? Well, if you're saved, at least one thing should come to mind. And that is, you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, rather that He knows you, and He's forgiven you your sin, and you have a home in heaven. But hasn't He really blessed us? Hasn't God been so good to us? I mean, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above, where there is no variableness nor shadow of turning, James said. I'll tell you, everything you have that's in your life that's right, that's decent, that's good, that's any sort of blessing whatsoever is a gift from God. And whether you're saved or whether you're lost as a goose in a windstorm, my friend, you had better be thankful to God. God is the one who blesses you. Even the very breath that you have is a blessing from God. And God deserves thanks. And God deserves the praise. Revelation chapter 7, I asked you to turn over there. This is after the sealing of the 144,000. And then there's an image of these the creatures and the 24. And we're going to look at these verses. Just verse 11, verse 12, and then we'll be finished with this. Notice what's spoken of in the text. I'll tell you, God deserves all the praise. Verse 11, Revelation 7. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and they fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. God deserves all honor. He deserves all glory. You ought to offer up your praise. You ought to give thanks unto Him. David did that very thing in our text. And so I ask you in closing, has God been your defense? I mean, in any aspect of life, or even in the spiritual realm, has God been your defense? Has God been your avenger? Have you listened to the Scripture and backed off and left it into the hands of the Lord, and the Lord's taken care of that? Has God been your deliverer? Those who used to oppress are now beneath your feet. God has exalted you above. Has God delivered you out of the hands of the enemies? Has God been your defense? Has God been your avenger? Has God been your deliverer? Then, like David, you should therefore render thanks and praise. Can you be thankful today? Should you be thankful today? You should. Be thankful. Those of us who are saved, in the very least, know that we can thank God for the salvation we have. But I'll tell you, if you're here and you're lost, you say, what do I have in the world to give thanks for? Well, there are so many physical things, but you ought to be thankful that God hasn't taken your life yet. Because, you know, as a sinner, if you die in that situation, you'll die and lift up your eyes in hell, being under the wrath and judgment of God for all eternity. You better be thankful there's still breath in your heart and in your lungs, and your heart's still beating that blood, and you still have life in your body. Because as a sinner, when you die, it's over. There's judgment, there's wrath, there's condemnation. Be thankful you're still living, and you have opportunity to hear the gospel. You have opportunity to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's a reason to give thanks, sinner friend. And you better give thanks. But if you can render thanks to God that He's allowed you to live long enough to understand the truth, then perhaps you ought to take that next step and just trust Him. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that you might be saved. So that you can have forgiveness of sins and so you can control your life and run your life and deliver you from all iniquity. Wash you in the blood. And you'll be glad to bow your knee. Would you be saved today? I'd like for us to stand and sing. Brother Paul, would you please come? I offered you the idea today to think about being thankful. Is there anything you can be thankful to God for today? I pray that you have recognized that. And even as we sing, it'd be a good time to just bow your head and talk to the Lord and thank Him. Thank Him. But it also gives you an opportunity to praise Him as we sing to Him. Father, we pray that You bless this invitation time according to Your will. We ask You to save the lost and strengthen the saved. And God, cause us, every one of us, to be a thankful people and then give You the honor and the glory that You do unto Your name. So we leave it in Your hands for Your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?